Hey, y'all. Welcome back to your weekly dose of startups.
First off on this week's prescription, we have Screen Skins, which just raised a $1.5 million seed round co-led by South Loop Ventures and Abo Ventures to create custom screen protectors.
Next up, you'll hear about Drippos, the all-in-one solution for coffee shops to run their business smoothly, hot off an $11 million Series A led by Base 10 Partners.
Piping hot off that Series A, just how we like our coffee. And lastly, stick with us for another Pillfolio update. We are scorching hot, this time on Campus, a community college startup, and their $23 million Series A extension led by Founders Fund with participation from local shop 8VC. This follows an initial $29 million Series A, which we covered back on E107.
Love all these Pillfolio updates, and great to have y'all back with us this week. Let's dive on in.
Let's get into it.
You see here, kid, you gotta just go for it. Don't think about what comes after or what came before. You just gotta bend your knees, take a deep breath, and jump.
This is Venture Pill, your weekly dose of startups and venture capital. We break down recent startups in the news and interview founders and investors to help you stay informed in the evolving world of venture. Okay, leading off this week's dose, we have Screen Skins, which just raised a $1.5 million seed round to create custom screen protectors for your iPhone. The round was co-led by South Loop Ventures and Abo Ventures, joined by a few angel investors as well.
Yeah, so a little bit more on the product. The company produces custom patent-pending phone screen protectors that feature personalized logos or slogans that are visible when the phone screen is black and then disappear when the phone is in use.
Makes sense.
Pretty cool. So customers can create their own designs or pick from the company's existing catalog as well.
Right, and talking about their existing catalog, I think one of the biggest differentiators for Screen Skins is that they hold creative licenses with various big-name brands, including organizations like the NFL, the NBA.
Football.
As well as entertainment brands like Marvel, Star Wars, other Disney-related products, and the WWE. And I even saw, we mentioned you can do logos or slogans, I even saw that there were some Bible verses as well, if that's what you're looking for in a screen protector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool to have like a Longhorn logo on your phone. Like, I don't know, it's an interesting idea. I wonder how they came up with it. But, you know, clearly a big opportunity here, and maybe bigger than most would expect. So phone accessories have always been a big market. I think that's pretty obvious. Global screen protector market alone, though, is worth an estimated $51 billion as of last year.
Wow.
Which is crazy, and forecasted to keep growing at about 8.3%. That's expected to reach $89 billion by 2030.
Yeah, that is a crazy large market. I don't think anyone would think that the market would be that big. I think the growth makes sense as smartphones continue to be adopted by the rest of the world and the country as well. But yeah, that's a huge opportunity. So love what Screen Skins is onto here. And maybe when we first introduced this company, some listeners might have been like, screen protectors? Seriously? Like, why is that? Why are we talking about that? Is that really a venture-backed business? I think you look, you know, behind the curtain a little bit at the size of this market, makes a little bit more sense. Let's move into the fundraising process for Screen Skins. And we just wanted to talk about this because it's interesting. We come across some companies that are constantly raising, feels like every 6 months. Like, one that comes to mind is Ramp recently, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're always, I think they raised something recently as well. And we've done multiple updates on them already. But on the flip side, there are some companies that are a little bit more strategic, try to, you know, get all their ducks lined up essentially before raising money so as to not get in over their skis. So with Screen Skins, the company took about a year to close this seed round, and they intentionally took their time as they worked to refine their supply chain and prepare their inventory for a mass go-to-market strategy. So again, just making sure that the inventory was there and that they're not scaling too quickly to lose sight of what they're actually working on.
Mm-hmm.
And so lastly, with the influx of capital, the company has moved manufacturing from Asia to the United States, where they can more easily control their supply chain, which, again, building off the point I just made, makes sense. They're trying to make sure that when they eventually see their demand surge, which seemingly they are, they'll be prepared to match that demand with supply.
Yeah, it's refreshing and it's different. I mean, normally our eyes go to the large rounds, you know, these sexy software and AI companies.
So sexy.
But yeah, this company is a pretty simple idea, but well executed with great partnerships already. And who knows, maybe this $1.5 million is all they'll really need to fund growth. And if they do well, it's really like pouring fuel on the fire. So they're going to double down on the screen protection play here. And though it currently focuses on smartphones, the plan is to one day expand into making screen protectors for tablets as well. So there is expansion opportunity in the actual expansion of the screen protector size.
Yeah. And just by clicking through the website, caught wind of, they have some great customer service as well. Lifetime warranty. They'll make changing your screen protector if it gets damaged as seamless as possible. I saw a pretty cool subscription thing where every couple of months, 3 months or so, they'll send you a different one. So let's say you want to have a Longhorn screen protector while the football season's going on, then you want a Yankee screen protector while the baseball season's going on, and so on. You can kind of keep that revolving door of screen protectors on your phone.
Yeah, I've never had a screen protector before.
Really? Yeah. You like to live dangerously, I see.
Yeah, I like it natural.
Yeah, I respect that.
Yeah, but maybe I'll have to try one.
And pricing on these is pretty standard with the rest of the screen protection industry. I guess I'll step in here since you're not too well-versed somehow, which is, I don't believe it. But about $30 to $35 is what I saw for a screen protector. And it's, of course, high quality, warranty, as safe a screen protector as you can get, really.
Yeah, and you know, while they are going to expand into different sizes for different, more devices, that makes a lot of sense. I do wonder if there are other plays to expand, like business to business. Like if there are companies who provide their employees with phones, why not put the company logo on there?
It's true. And it's easy. I've seen it with our friends. Like, it's easy to mix up your work phone versus your personal phone. If you have a logo that's kind of looks like it's on the front of your screen, I think it makes it easier to distinguish.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So and free ideas for for screen scans.
Yeah. And I think this really just comes down to people enjoying being able to customize every aspect of their life and their phone as possible. So this is just another layer where, hey, this Bible verse really resonates with me. Like, I want to have that on my phone so I can, you know, see it every time. Or same thing with the sports team. It's really just another layer of customization that consumers seem to be enjoying.
Yeah, it's an untapped frontier of logo space. it's like free water.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could start advertising on it maybe one day.
True, pay people to put a screen protector on their phone with their logo.
Get a free phone if you start advertising a company logo on it.
Yeah, making that person who uses the phone so much every day look at that logo. Yeah. I mean, maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
All right, our second company of this week's dose is Dripos, which just raised $11 million in Series A funding led by Base 10 Partners, which is the firm that actually invested in companies like Plaid, Instacart, and Figma. So a couple small ones there. The round also included participation from Coda Capital, and an impressive list of angels to round it out.
Right, and so impressive cap table, and then getting a little bit more into the actual startup, Dripos is a one-stop coffee shop for coffee shops that brings together point of sale, mobile payments, employee management, and payroll, as well as loyalty and marketing automation, and several other administrative functions. Really, like you said, a one-stop shop. And that joke reminds me of the Seinfeld, a coffee table book about coffee tables or something that Kramer was selling and had success with. So love the idea here and like that analogy or reference.
Yeah, yeah. So a little bit more on the background here. In 2019, the founders Jack and Avery started Dripos to help coffee shops with mobile ordering specifically. What they soon realized was that while this was solving a specific need for smaller coffee shops, especially once the pandemic hit, there was actually a much bigger problem facing these shops.
Right, and that bigger problem was essentially, to boil it down, that different software products were included for all the different parts of the business process. Essentially, all those different features we listed above, right? Payroll management, point of sale, marketing automation, things like that. So instead of having, you know, 10 different softwares that you're paying for, they kind of rolled it up, combined it into one. And obviously, when you do have all these different softwares, it's more fragmented and not all systems are curated specifically for coffee shops. They may not all talk to each other and be as efficient as possible, mm-hmm. which makes these smaller coffee shops have to get to a piecemeal solution with an oftentimes square peg into a circular hole approach, which nobody wants that.
No, right? That is hard to jam in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes all too much sense. And so Dripos has had impressive early success. 400% growth last year alone. 9 figures in process payments on the platform. Just a couple of metrics there to put in perspective. And with this funding, the company will invest more in the development of their products and services, as is typical. But what we wanted to call out is that it is the software. They also have hardware, you know, those mobile attachment devices that allow you to process things in the point of sale, as well as those tabletop spinny thingies
that everyone loves
that ask you for the tip. we didn't get into their tipping defaults.
Don't get me started on tipping culture. Yeah, those spinny touch screens have really boosted some tipping revenue for a lot of companies I know. And just as an aside, if this was a stand-up bit, for instance, tipping culture is so out of control. Don't get me started on tipping culture. At Moody Center last summer, we went to a Dave Chappelle stand-up comedy show. Mm-hmm. I went to a fully automated walk-in, got a can of beer, and scanned it. No, not an employee in the store. And still, after I paid for it, they asked if I wanted to tip. I'm like, who am I tipping here? This is a fully automated. I walked in, took it off the shelf, scanned it myself.
You're tipping Jeff Bezos himself.
Yeah, I'm tipping Jeff Bezos. Like, shouldn't they be tipping me for the, you know, minimal labor I put in there?
Yeah.
Whatever. That was an aside. Yeah. As you mentioned, they have that hardware component, but also software. So point of sale and ordering trusted by over 3,000 customers. Software also includes team management, so scheduling, messaging, onboarding, things like that, as well as overall business management, accounting, cash management, business analytics, all from an easy-to-use dashboard. And then they also have a marketing suite, which includes customer incentive systems like loyalty points, everyone loves those, mm-hmm. as well as tasks and challenges. And they even make the gift card process easy as well. So again, a comprehensive one-stop shop for anything you could be looking for in a software-hardware combo for a coffee shop.
they have it all. And so, you know, just to round it out, the market here is clearly the long tail of independent and small coffee shop chains, which need to continually keep up with the giants. So clearly there was this issue, but why? I mean, obviously we're trying to bring them into the new age, but mm-hmm. it's basically Starbucks, and there's some other big ones, but Starbucks that has led the charge, truly mastering the use of technology in all aspects of the business. And that makes it hard for the local, you know, Joe's Coffee, whatever it is, to keep up. And to, you know, while their product is probably much better, some people just prefer the ease and the familiarity of a Starbucks, having it always around, having the app that they're so used to and addicted to.
Mobile ordering, easy, things like that. Yeah. I will say, with all the technology that Starbucks has leveraged to become, you know, a giant in the coffee space, they still haven't seemed to use the technology for getting your name right. That's still something that evades them, although maybe that's intentional.
It's intentionally all press is good press.
Yeah. Right? And you and I were just talking. This reminds us of Mallard Bay, which we covered only a couple episodes ago. Mallard Bay for outfitters. This was for hunting and fishing trips, helping bring that antiquated business into the modern age with mm-hmm. making equipment more easy to rent and having systems in place for stores to keep track of it. And it's something we love, and it's also a trend we've noticed of helping small businesses streamline operations with software built with them in mind, kind of putting them first instead of the big guys, or instead of the big players in the space. And yeah, just helping these small companies evolve and modernize to the 21st century. And so, unlike with Mallard Bay, a lot of the outfitters were using literally like paper and mm-hmm. pencil type accounting systems. Coffee shops are using technology today for the most part. Still, it's a similar concept of helping them really evolve and take that next step towards being a product that customers want in today's day and age.
And I think it is, like, in a sense, a subsect of like a good mission or like impact, right? It's helping the smaller businesses mm-hmm. fight against the, you know, down with big coffee.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not necessarily like environmental, social, but it is, I think it is valiant for them to to invest in this and to provide a product and a service that really helps these shops.
Agreed.
Up with small coffee.
Up with small coffee. We'll go get a cup from a small local coffee shop. Up with
venti coffee.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Whatever that means. That's a whole other point of frustration.
Is that a large one? I don't even know.
I still don't know either.
Down with venti coffee.
Down with venti coffee. That's a good one. That's a new one. But yeah, awesome company to cover for our second company on this week's dose. And now transitioning to our third and final company for this week's dose, we have a Pilfolio update.
Woo woo.
Whoop whoop. Another one. We've really been covering a lot of our Pilfolio, which is awesome to see.
Pilfolio is...
It's hot. And it's amazing. You know, we've been doing this for 2 years, you know, getting closer to 2.5 years, and we've seen so many companies make these new headlines, and I'm sure we've missed a few that have just, you know, slipped through the cracks, but goes to show the cycle of how things kind of go within venture capital. Anyway, with that, you know, standing off that soapbox onto another one, this Pilfolio update is about Campus, which is a community college startup that just secured a $23 million Series A extension round led by Founders Fund with participation from 8VC, local shop in town here in Austin. This funding follows an initial $29 million Series A that was backed by OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, as well as Discord founder Jason Citrone, which we covered back on episode 107, just about 10, 11 doses ago. So
yeah, quick turnaround
Quick turnaround.
Yeah, so we'll give that a listen if you want for the original breakdown, but we will go through a bit of
a streamlined breakdown on what Campus
Spark
is
notes.
Doing. Yeah.
So their mission is awesome. It's to maximize access to world-class education regardless of background or income, making higher education more accessible, affordable, and relevant to real-world challenges. Mm-hmm. Ever relevant today, I would say. Definitely. Even more so than several weeks ago when we covered them last. So what they do is they hire adjunct professors from top universities like Vanderbilt, Princeton, NYU, UT, yeah. Hook 'em baby, and paying them $8,000 a course, significantly above the national average for professors.
Yeah, so this startup is so cool from every aspect, really. But I remember us riffing a little bit about how this is kind of like a gig economy job for professors, a lot of who are super underpaid. And I went on a quick rant about how important it is to pay the people that are teaching and training the future of America, right, in these universities. So love it from that angle. Also love how they're making college more accessible and affordable mm-hmm. for everybody. And so with that $8,000 per course hiring system for adjunct professors, the startup is able to attract top academic talent while keeping tuition costs low, with about 40% of students attending for free due to federal Pell Grants. Hmm. And again, the approach here is to address the rising cost of higher education, which has led to students accumulating $1.7 trillion in debt. And the average cost of attending a four-year public in-state school is around $26,000 annually. And for a private school, it's more like $55,000 annually. I mean, it's crazy, and it continues to grow. It's not accessible for everybody.
Yeah. Seriously. And it's a meaningful difference with what Campus is offering. $7,200 a year. So much lower. Mm-hmm. And not to mention the grants that allow students access as well. The startup provides students with laptops, Wi-Fi, tutoring, and personalized coaching to ensure they stay on track mm-hmm. as well. So that's everything you could ask for a really good price. Despite being a relatively young startup, Campus boasts a 61% graduation rate, which is double the national average for community colleges.
That's awesome. Love everything you just said there. That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
And investors and students love it too. Just to cover some traction here, in the first quarter of this year, more than 1,500 students applied for Campus. Currently, there's about 850 students across 30 states enrolled today. And according to Tade Oyerinde, the founder of Campus, enrollment has been growing fast, with students wanting to be part of something modern and new, and they think of Campus as a trampoline into a four-year program.
That sounds fun.
It does sound fun. Sounds like a fun school. Also, should make note, I think a lot of the first Series A installment went towards actually getting a campus in Sacramento, I recall. So there was some in-person courses offered there. It's still mostly predominantly online courses, and students are all over the country. But they do have, if you do want that, you know, in-person college experience, there is actually a campus for campus. And so with all this exciting growth and traction, they've uncovered a new challenge, which I'm sure this new tranche of funding will help them address. But that challenge being finding the coaches. So we mentioned they, as well as a free Wi-Fi and laptop, things like that, there's also these personalized coaches, I think basically like academic counselors. And so while attracting professors and students has been pretty easy for the company, long wait lists for both of those, the company needs more coaches who encourage students to stick with their education, make sure that they're staying on track, reaching their goals. A lot of these students are part-time students as well, so they're balancing a lot, of course. So having that coach in your corner that is, you know, another assistant for you to make sure you're staying on track is an important part of the solution here.
Yeah, I wonder why it has lagged behind the professors. Maybe that's just a more pressing, obvious need that professors are looking for. But I know some former academic counselors, for example, like it seems like a similar issue. They're not paid enough. Mm-hmm. They're dealing with a lot, helping students. Maybe this is a similar route, and they just need to figure out how to find those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe with this funding, similar to how they have that gig economy type of system with professors, they'll be able to do the same thing with these coaches, incentivize them to supplement their income in a meaningful way.
Yeah. So awesome to see such a quick turnaround, quick update for campus. We love education tech, and I know a lot of the pilgrims out there care about the future of education and how the private markets will play an important role in that, because things haven't really changed. The incentives are all misaligned, and it's frustrating, but it is exciting and cool to see that there are people innovating and there is chance for a different future for people to go down a different path.
Yeah, agreed. And I think, like you said, every student or potential customer for campus, as well as investors, seem to like what they're working on here, as they've raised over $50 million in venture funding just in the past few months, just in 2024, really.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the returns work out for these investors, kind of a different model here, investing in a school. But I think it's more of an investment in that trend, in the downfall of traditional education systems, and the opportunity here to lead the charge in a new wave is pretty cool. So
yeah,
maybe our kids will be campusers,
roommates at campus. That'd be awesome. Although I know you and I are both insistent that they attend UT like you and I did, but we'll see what the future of education brings. I think there's a lot of change coming to the general education sector within the next 10, 20 years or so.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to, you know, from a long angle, kind of follow how things change within the space. Because I agree, it's certainly something that's been a set system for a while. So feels like it's a little overdue for new players in the space like Campus to come in and try to mix things up a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what we love here on The Pill.
It is.
Another great dose partner. We're wrapping up here for this week, and it is sadly one of our last few recordings here in Austin. But we've loved this run here, and we're gonna finish it out strong. So
you know it.
So always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, partner. Thanks as always to our listeners, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another dose of startups and venture capital. And as always, we appreciate our pilgrims spreading the word about the show. Share with your friends and help someone else make the pilgrimage. See you next time. She told me that she only bumps my music when she's lonely. Thinks my vibe's a little low-key, okie-dokie, that's alright, but wait, I don't know how to do